Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're diving into the work of Mate Gara Gordobil.
Oh, yeah.
A professor of psychology at the University of the Basque Country in Spain.
Mm.
And we've got a bunch of her research projects here from like the late 1990s all the way to 2014.
Okay.
And her approach is really fascinating.
Yeah.
She uses methods like analyzing children's drawings.
Interesting.
And watching them during playtime.
Yeah.
To kind of evaluate their development.
That's really insightful, isn't it? Like, it goes beyond those traditional tests
yeah.
and taps into these natural expressions mm. of a child's abilities and emotions.
Absolutely. It just seems like such a fun and engaging way to gather data.
Yeah.
Especially for the kids.
Right.
So what exactly did Professor Gara Gordobil, like, uncover in her research?
Well, let's start with her work on psychomotor development
right.
back in the late 1990s.
Right.
She designed this really unique instrument to assess this in 8-year-old children.
Okay, when you say instrument, I have to ask, was this like some high-tech device or something?
Not quite. Imagine a series of 39 group games.
Wow.
Designed to reveal insights into children's psychomotor skills.
39 games. That sounds more like a field day than a research study.
Right.
But I can see how observing kids in action
yeah.
during games could reveal a lot about their development.
Exactly. Through these games, she could observe and record this detailed set of 90 specific indicators
uh-huh.
related to a child's coordination, balance, speed,
wow.
and even their perception of time and space.
Wow, 90 indicators. That's incredibly comprehensive.
Yeah.
How did she even, like, begin to organize all that information?
So Professor Gara Gordobil identified 19 key psychomotor variables from these observations.
Okay.
And she categorized those variables into 4 main areas.
Okay.
Coordination and motor control.
Okay.
Neuromotor factors.
Got it.
Perceptual structuring and body schema.
I'm following you on the first two, but could you break down perceptual structuring and
sure.
body schema for me?
Of course. Perceptual structuring
right.
refers to how a child processes sensory information
mm-hmm.
and organizes it into meaningful perceptions.
Okay.
It's their ability to make sense of what they see, hear, and feel.
Uh-huh.
Body schema is their internal awareness of their body in space.
Okay.
How they understand its size, shape, and movements.
So a child with good perceptual structuring can easily navigate a crowded playground.
Right.
And a strong body schema helps them understand how to climb or kick a ball.
Exactly.
It's fascinating how all these seemingly separate skills are actually interconnected.
That's a great way to put it. And Professor Gara Gordobil didn't stop at simply identifying these skills.
Okay.
She was curious about the connection between psychomotor development and intelligence.
That makes sense.
Hmm.
It seems intuitive that physical abilities and cognitive abilities
yeah.
would be linked in some way.
Uh-huh.
Did her research confirm that?
Yes, it did. She used standardized intelligence tests
okay.
along with her game-based assessments and found some interesting correlations.
This is where it gets really interesting. Tell me more about what she discovered.
One of the most surprising findings was the link between verbal intelligence
interesting.
And skills like running speed, coordination, and body awareness.
Wait, hold on. Verbal intelligence is connected to running speed.
Yeah.
That's not what I would expect it.
It might seem counterintuitive, but think about what's involved in both those skills.
Hmm.
Verbal intelligence requires processing information quickly,
right.
planning, and executing complex sequences.
Okay.
Just like coordinating your movements when you're running or playing a game.
You're right. I never thought of it that way. So if a child is a strong runner.
Mm-hmm.
Or excels in sports that require coordination,
yeah.
it could be an indication of strong verbal intelligence as well.
That's one possible interpretation of the findings, yes.
Okay.
And it highlights the importance of promoting physical activity in children.
Right.
It's not just about physical health,
yeah.
but also about fostering cognitive development.
That's a fantastic point.
No.
Makes you wonder if we should rethink how we approach education
yeah.
and encourage more movement and play in the classroom.
Exactly. And it's not just about verbal intelligence either.
Oh.
Professor Gara Gordobil's research also revealed links between nonverbal intelligence
okay.
and skills like balance,
okay.
visual perception, and timing.
So essentially, her work is showing us that the mind and body are deeply interconnected.
Yeah.
A child's physical abilities
mm-hmm.
are a window into their cognitive abilities.
Right.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
This is truly revolutionary stuff.
Mm.
What else did Professor Gara Gordobil discover about this intricate connection?
Professor Gara Gordobil's research didn't stop at that connection between physical skills and intelligence.
Oh, really?
She also explored the profound insights we can gain from something as simple as children's drawings.
Really? I remember loving to draw as a kid, but I never imagined those scribbles could reveal anything meaningful about my development.
You might be surprised by what she found. She focused on the draw a person test, but with a twist.
Ah.
Instead of drawing one figure,
yeah.
Children drew two.
Why the change? What was the thinking behind asking them to draw two figures?
Professor Gurra-Gordabil believed that having children draw two figures
right.
would provide a more complete picture of their internal world,
okay.
giving them a larger canvas for self-expression.
That makes sense. It's like expanding the possibilities for them to communicate through their art.
Right.
So how did she analyze these drawings? Was she looking for specific elements or themes?
She meticulously revised and standardized this two-figure drawing test,
okay.
which she named the T2F test of two human figures.
Okay.
And to ensure her findings were statistically robust,
yeah.
she analyzed an impressive sample of over 1,200 children between the ages of 5 and 12.
Wow, over 1,200 children. That's a significant sample size.
Yeah.
It definitely adds weight to her findings.
Right.
What exactly was she looking for in these drawings?
She analyzed various aspects like the size and placement of the figures, the level of detail included,
mm-hmm.
and the expressions depicted on their faces.
Okay.
It's remarkable because through these indicators,
yeah.
she could distinguish between children with and without emotional problems.
That's incredible. It's like these drawings were providing a visual representation of their emotional states.
Uh-huh.
Were there any specific types of emotional problems
yeah.
that the T2F was particularly effective at identifying?
The test showed promise in identifying a range of potential issues, including
right.
anxiety,
yeah.
depression,
mm-hmm.
and even potential intellectual challenges.
Wow.
And later, she further refined the T2F,
okay.
identifying even more emotional indicators.
Interesting.
Making it an even more powerful tool for understanding a child's inner world.
It's fascinating how Professor Gurra-Gordabil consistently looked for ways to refine and improve her assessment tools.
Yeah.
It speaks volumes about her commitment to creating resources that can truly make a difference.
Right.
But it makes me wonder, did she also create any practical tools
mm-hmm.
that could be used outside of research settings? Something that teachers or parents could use to support children?
Absolutely. Alongside the T2F,
okay.
Professor Gurra-Gordabil also developed the SPCI,
okay.
for screening of behavioral problems in children.
Okay.
This tool is a questionnaire
okay.
designed to help teachers identify children who might be struggling with various emotional and behavioral issues.
That sounds like a valuable resource.
Hmm.
Teachers are often on the front lines when it comes to noticing changes in a child's behavior.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate a bit more on the SPCI? What specific areas does it address?
The SPCI focuses on 10 specific problem areas.
Okay.
Ranging from withdrawal and anxiety
right.
to hyperactivity and aggression.
Okay.
And just like with her other tools,
yeah.
she rigorously tested the SPCI with over 1,200 children
oh.
to ensure its accuracy and usefulness.
So it's not based on subjective opinions or gut feelings.
Right.
It's a research-backed tool that can provide teachers with valuable insights.
Exactly.
That must be incredibly reassuring for educators who are trying to support their students' well-being.
Precisely. It's not intended to be a diagnostic tool,
right.
but rather a way to flag potential concerns early on.
Right.
Early identification can make a huge difference in providing timely support and interventions.
Absolutely. It seems that early identification is a common thread throughout Professor Gurra-Gordabil's work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about identifying problems,
yeah.
but also recognizing strengths and talents, wouldn't you say?
Yes, that's a crucial point.
Okay.
By understanding a child's unique profile,
right.
including both their challenges and their strengths,
mm-hmm.
we can create tailored support systems that nurture their full potential.
It's so inspiring to see a researcher who is so passionate about translating her findings into practical tools that can benefit children, educators, and families.
Yeah.
Professor Gurra-Gordabil's work truly embodies the idea of impactful science.
I couldn't agree more. Her research is a testament to the power of observation, creativity, and a deep understanding of child development.
Right.
It challenges traditional notions of intelligence
mm-hmm.
and highlights the importance of a holistic approach to supporting children's growth.
Speaking of holistic approaches, earlier we discussed the link between psychomotor skills and intelligence.
Right.
Now we've delved into how drawings can reveal a child's emotional landscape.
Yeah.
It's amazing how seemingly simple activities can provide such profound insights into who we are and how we develop.
It really does make you wonder what other everyday behaviors might hold hidden clues about our inner worlds and developmental journeys.
That's a fantastic point. Perhaps we've only just scratched the surface of what we can learn from observing and understanding the nuances of human behavior, especially in children.
It's definitely a thought-provoking question to ponder.
Yeah.
Professor Gara Gordabil's research has certainly opened our eyes to the wealth of information that can be gleaned from seemingly ordinary activities.
Well, before we get too carried away with pondering the mysteries of human behavior, is there anything else you'd like to highlight from Professor Gara Gordabil's work?
You know, it strikes me that Professor Gara Gordabil's work, from those innovative games to analyzing children's drawings, really emphasizes this idea of early identification.
It's a crucial aspect of her research, and something she returns to time and again.
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing potential issues early on provides the opportunity to offer support before those problems become more entrenched.
Yeah, it makes me think about like how much easier it is to adjust a ship's course with a small turn of the wheel early on rather than waiting until it's way off course.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And early identification isn't just about spotting potential problems. It's also about recognizing a child's strengths and talents.
By understanding their unique profile, we can nurture their full potential.
It seems like Professor Gara Gordabil's research provides this like toolbox for understanding children on a deeper level.
It does.
What would you say is the most significant takeaway for our listeners?
I think the key takeaway is that child development is this intricate tapestry woven from physical, cognitive, and emotional threads.
Right.
Professor Gara Gordabil's work really beautifully illustrates this interconnectedness.
It's a far cry from that old way of thinking that compartmentalized those aspects of development. Her research shows just how intertwined they truly are.
Exactly. And she demonstrates that seemingly simple activities like playing games and drawing can offer these profound insights into a child's growth.
It's a reminder to be more mindful of those everyday moments and to see them as opportunities for understanding and connection.
Absolutely. It encourages us to observe and listen to children with a renewed sense of curiosity and appreciation for their unique journeys.
Well, this has been an incredibly enlightening deep dive into Professor Gara Gordabil's research.
It has.
It's given me a whole new perspective on child development and the remarkable ways in which children express themselves.
It's been a pleasure exploring her work with you.
Likewise.
Professor Gara Gordabil's commitment to understanding and supporting children really shines through in every aspect of her research.
Before we wrap up,
yeah,
I have one final thought for our listeners to ponder.
Okay.
If seemingly simple activities like playing games and drawing can offer such profound insights, what other everyday behaviors might hold hidden clues about who we are and how we develop?
That's a wonderful question to leave our listeners with.
Yeah.
It invites a sense of wonder and encourages us to continue exploring the fascinating world of child development.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the groundbreaking research of Professor Gara Gordabil.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time, keep exploring.